Our reading today is from the book of Ephesians, and I have to kind of quantify it a little bit. The Cosmic Christians have been reading a book called The First Paul, and in the book, they delineate, the authors are Marcus Borg and John Dominic Crossan, and they delineate on letters that are for sure Paul's letters, and then there are letters attributed to Paul that might not be Paul. And then there are letters attributed to Paul that probably aren't Paul. So I got to thinking, now where does Ephesians fall in that little list? And Ephesians is one of the letters that they call disputed to be Paul. It traditionally, for 2,000 years, be considered a letter of Paul to the Ephesians. Now there are scholars who are saying, well, there's things about it in there that don't sound like Paul, so maybe it isn't Paul. So I'm going to read it as if it's Paul, but I want you to just keep in mind that maybe it isn't Paul, okay? Well, I got to looking at the sermon, and I keep saying, Paul said this, Paul said that. And every time I said it, I went, Paul said this, and Paul said that. I don't know. But let's just pretend that maybe it's Paul, okay? It's good scripture, by the way, even if it isn't Paul of Tarsus. He says, so then, putting away falsehood, speaking to these Christians in Ephesus, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And do not make room for the devil. Thieves, you must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up, as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked and with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. May God add blessing to the reading of the word, of whoever's words those are. What we have in this lesson is sort of rules for living a new life in Christ. Oh, goody, just what we wanted was another set of rules. One of the reasons they think it might be Paul is Paul was a king of the run-on sentence, and there's some very long sentences in this lesson listing these rules. You've heard the expression, what would Jesus do? Buddy, heard that? You know, wear it on your bracelet and your bumper sticker on your car. My question for us today is, do we really want to do what Jesus did? Jesus bucked the system. Do we all want to buck the system? Do we want to challenge the law? Because that's what Jesus did. Jesus angered and defied about every authority he came across. We're told in the scriptures he had nowhere to lay his head. So was he homeless? Perhaps. Jesus had people following him all the time, plotting to kill him. Jesus knew that he would meet his Waterloo eventually. And he was executed in a particularly gruesome way because of his rebellion toward the religious and the civil authorities. He stood against the principalities and powers of his day. Is that what we want to do? Is that the kind of life that we want to live? Are we really willing to do what Jesus did? Perhaps you'd be asking the question, really, what would Jesus have us do? Paul, or whoever wrote this book, helps us out. He gives us direction. He gives us some guiding principles in this lesson, but they aren't always as easy as they sound. He says, speak the truth to our neighbors. How truthful are we, really? And do our neighbors really want to hear the truth? Sometimes the truth isn't very pleasant. Remember Jack Nicholson in that movie, A Few Good Men, and he says, you want to know the truth? You can't handle the truth. Maybe that's true for us, too. Sometimes the truth is hurtful, judgmental, even cruel. Jesus' truth-telling got him into a whole lot of trouble. Yet the truth must be spoken when it has to be heard, even when it causes pain or anger. When we're afraid to speak the truth, we could honor God. When we could honor God or shed light on some darkness, when we're afraid, we avoid it to protect ourselves. Remember Jesus' words, I come that you might know the truth, that the truth might set you free. Let us then in our truth-telling be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Next, the author says, be angry, but do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger, or we might rephrase it by saying anger in and of itself is not bad when it is handled in a healthy manner. But don't go to bed mad. Good advice. Don't let your angers and resentments fester. Anger and resentment can last for years and years, and often does, over some trivial thing. That's something that drives wedges between people. Georgiana and I live in a little townhouse, and we have four couples, Georgiana and I, and we have one next to us and two across the way. And the two across the way have lived next door to each other for about 20 years, and they haven't spoken in 10 years to each other. And I heard the reason why, and it's real silly. They have let the sun go down on their anger for a long time. Good advice. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Figure out a way to be together, to be good neighbors. Next in this list is, let no evil talk come from your mouths, but only what is useful for building up, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. Do you know of any gossip that has ever built anyone up? Probably just the opposite. Rumors are distortions of power and privilege. I know something you don't know. Of course, the minute we pass on a rumor, then we lose all the power, right? I can hear my mother saying it now. If you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. Let no evil talk come from your mouths. Oh, how powerful our tongues can be, for hurt or to heal. Oh, yes, and then Paul says, put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander and all malice, too. The home we lived in, Iowa, had this gigantic 150-year-old maple tree in the middle of 10 backyards. And, of course, there's no fences, small town in Iowa, so all our backyards came together in this big maple tree. So we used to have every summer we'd have sort of a neighborhood picnic. And I was the only one out of all 10 houses that was still working. Everyone else was retired. And the men would gather around with a beer, and the women would be over doing something else. And a bunch of old men, excuse the expression, they were bitching and moaning about everything they could think of. They complained about the city government. They complained about the traffic. They complained about the president and the governor and the legislature and Social Security and Medicare. We can always find plenty to complain about because the world is not perfect and our lives are not perfect. and we are not perfect. So Paul says, instead of all of that, all of these things about gossip and slander and wrangling and bitterness and resentment and not telling the truth, he says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Paul knew how much better life could be when we allow the Spirit of Christ to reign in our lives. Paul himself, who was Saul when he persecuted Jesus' followers, chasing them all over the countryside trying to arrest them, Paul experienced a transformation of his heart, saying in his letters, it is not I who live, but that it is Christ who lives in me. In the end, we aren't trying to be Christ. We aren't trying to do what Jesus do, but we're trying to be Christ-like. To stand up against abusive power and authority, but also to open our hearts to the oppressed and the marginalized. My sister had a little plaque on her wall when she was growing up, and it was a picture of a little dog. And in the frame it said, a friend is not a fellow who is taken in by sham. A friend is one who knows our faults and doesn't give a damn. I'm not quite sure why it was hanging in my sister's room. We expected over my father's bed or something, but that's sort of what Paul is saying here, isn't he? He's saying, you know, we can look for all the evil and bad in the world, and we can make it run our lives. But he says, we don't need to be Christ. We need to be Christ-like. To see not one another's faults, but see the Christ that lies within one another. My hope for you and for me is that when someone asks us, and maybe you've been asked this, I certainly have, are you a Christian? And our answer really needs to be, well, I'm trying to be. And in our hearts we can say, I'm trying to put away those attitudes and habits that block the love and grace of Jesus that is within me, so that he can be seen in my words, in my actions. May it be so, today, tomorrow, and always. Thanks be to God. Amen.